Well, now for everyday economics, we're talking smoke and mirrors this morning. When governments say that a particular tax or levy you're paying is earmarked for a particular purpose, how do you know that's where it actually ends up? Think about the Medicare levy, for example, or the Roads and Development Fund built through taxes on petrol. And of course, in this latest budget, we've seen the co-payment for visits to the doctor that will help build the Medical Research Future Fund, as the government has explained. Now, this earmarking or ring fencing of taxes has a special name. Here's a bit of jargon for you: hypothecation. They are all these taxes hypothetically allocated to particular uses, and they're just the recent ones, the Medicare levy, etc. What about that radio licence fee we were told funded the ABC at one stage? Now, you might not mind paying taxes or levies that you know are going towards something you value, but is that actually happening? Peter Martin, good morning.
Good morning.
Economics editor of The Age. I mean, this was the Medical Research Future Fund is a great example of this, isn't it? Front and centre in the latest budget.
Oh, look, it's an almost transparent ruse. You go through the budget.
A ruse, you say?
Yes, I do. You go through each of the budget measures. There's a budget document that sets them out. And next to each thing, they say, what will happen to the savings? These are the savings measures, of which most of the measures save money. Mm. So they say, in the case of every cutback to health, there are many, you know, the pharmaceutical benefit scheme, the co-payments, the grants to hospitals for the states.
Preventive health agencies. Yeah, yep.
Exactly. Mm. Exactly for that one. In the case of everyone, they say, quote, the savings from this measure will be invested by the government in the Medical Research Future Fund.
Yeah, now that's key, isn't it? Because we got the impression at face value that this was going to be, the co-payment was going to fund that, but it doesn't exclusively. In fact, that particular future fund will come out of a whole range of other cuts to health.
Every single cut to health, it's a way of inoculating, to use a health word, these cuts from criticism. Now, when they reintroduced indexation for petrol excise so that they'll get an extra billion per year out of that, it'll keep growing, that will be redirected to repair the government, to repair budget. Redirected to road funding. Now, this is bizarre because in the case of road funding, we spend far more than that already. And here's the trick. Say that I told you that there was going to be a new fund set up, $100, okay, for something good. Pick something we're all in favour of, okay, for mother's milk, okay. Now, so we all look, something like that, right? Say we normally spent $50 on that. You might imagine that this new fund of $100, it's hypothecated, it goes there hypothetically, would result in $150 spent on mother's milk, but it doesn't. Because you can easily cut what you would have done anyway. And by the way, there are cuts to research in this budget. The CSIRO has had its funding cut. The Research Grants Council has had its funding cut. So it's, in a sense, a non-decision. It's also actually legally not true. The government isn't allowed to hypothecate.
So they're not allowed to earmark or ring fence levies and taxes. Tell us that they're doing that. They're not allowed to do that?
Section 81 of the Constitution.
Oh.
There you go.
What does it say?
All revenues or monies raised or received by the executive government of the Commonwealth shall form one consolidated revenue fund to be appropriated for the purposes of the Commonwealth in the manner and so on, as it sees fit.
So this is more about kind of playing politics, is it? I mean, certainly in the case of the Medicare co-payment, I wonder whether the explanation for that this will partly fund the Medical Research Future Fund is really just a palatable way of getting that co-payment across the line with voters, marking a change to Medicare forever that they wanted to happen.
It is, because it came second. The first thing we heard about was the co-payment, or their planning for that, in the lead-up to the budget. The second thing we heard about was it's going to medical research. Now, if the aim was to set up a medical research fund, you might have thought you'd heard about that first, and how to fund it second. So I think that's right.
So let's look at historically how this ring fencing has occurred. I mean, obviously you're saying it doesn't occur, but how has it been described as occurring? Licence fee you mentioned?
Look,
the Sydney Opera House?
Yes, the Sydney Harbour Bridge. So the Sydney Opera House was funded by a lottery. Now, in that case, I think that was the Ridge-Didge deal, okay? That is, the lottery funds did go to fund it. But and it's possible to have Ridge-Didge deals, notwithstanding the Constitution. You just need to be trusting. But the toll on the Sydney Harbour Bridge, it was opened in 1930, paid off in 1988, which when I last looked was a long time ago, okay? Mm-hmm. And this is what often happens. You can get that extreme where the money continues well after the purpose is gone, or you can have the other extreme. The other extreme would be, let me just think.
Well, think about that for a tick. But I would have thought that the wider public would rather like this approach because they then know where their tax dollar is going, Peter.
Yeah,
taxes flowing or levies flowing to general revenue really leaves too much to the imagination.
The most popular tax of all is the Medicare levy. We love it. And this is the other extreme. The Medicare levy funds half of the cost of Medicare. Okay, So if it was doubled, there'd be no more spending on Medicare necessarily. If it was halved, it would make no difference either. We spend $22 billion on Medicare. The Medicare levy raises $12 billion. Now, because this idea is popular, we now have, or will have from the middle of this year, the disability levy on top of the Medicare levy. It'll lift it from 1.5% to 2%. It'll raise a fraction of what's needed for the National Disability Insurance Scheme. These things aren't linked. And in a way, they can't be linked because money is, and here's the other buzzword connected with this.
I like this word. I think I know what you're going to say.
It starts with F. Money is fungible.
Fungible.
Have you ever heard that before?
Say it to me again, though.
Fungible.
Oh, I just love that word.
Have you heard it before?
I have heard it before, but I didn't fully appreciate what it meant. Now I do, I think.
Where have you heard it?
Oh, I can't remember now. I don't know, but explain what it means and why it's relevant.
It's the money is money, and each dollar note doesn't have a mark on it. Now, think about it in terms of petrol. If I lent you my car, say I had a full tank of petrol, you'd probably return it with a full tank.
And that's cool.
And it wouldn't be the same petrol.
Yeah, right. But that doesn't worry us. But if you, on the hand, you gave me another car
that
was a clapped out dump, I wouldn't be so happy. Cars aren't fungible, petrol is.
Yes, or I like to say bricks tend to be non-fungible, but we regard sand as fungible. This happens, it happens for money, but it happens for gas and electricity. If you buy electricity from a supplier, you know, whose headquarters is in the Hunter Valley or somewhere a long way away, they'll put electricity into the system because you've done that. You'll take electricity out, probably, you know, in my case, because I'm in Canberra, it might come from the Snowy Hydro. It won't be the same electricity. It won't be the same electrons. Gas, we have, there's a connection between Victoria and New South Wales across the border for natural gas. And, you know, suppliers in each state sell it to the other state. But the actual gas molecules,
bring it back to ring fencing and this idea of hypothecation, governments allocating particular levies and taxes that we pay to particular funding streams.
There's no way of checking.
So, it just absolutely astounds me because it's such a big part of political rhetoric.
Yes, although Australia has on the whole resisted this. The Treasury doesn't like it. The Treasury doesn't like it because it removes control over where money is spent to some extent. Or if it doesn't, it creates sort of needless fictions about where money's spent. And it's essentially an untruth. On the other hand, and we've seen this with levies, you just know the large number of levies.
Well, the fire services levy, I remember that in Victoria, and that was quite significant off the back of the bushfires.
Yep. Yep, we've had so many of them, the sugar levy, the milk levy, and of course the Timor levy that people supported. It was never introduced, but people, because they supported Australia's intervention in Timor, were very keen on that. The guns buyback levy. We like these things. They're the most popular taxes in Europe. They have, you know how everyone says that European tax is lower than Australian tax, which isn't really true. That's because on top of tax, they have these social security levies.
Right, so more targeted, extra additional
people
payments.
People love them.
Yeah, so the thing is, you seem to suggest that they don't actually exist, even though we're told that they do. And yet there's a whole sort of body of literature in your field arguing that actually governments do this to kind of enlargen government, to make government more powerful, to mask an increase in government spending.
Yeah, that's one argument, and I suppose the other argument that's put is that this is extreme honesty. Now, Joe Hockey, believe it or not, our treasurer, comes down on the point of view of this is extreme honesty. This year, when you put in your tax return, you will get a new document back, and it'll divide up. And I've put it on your website. There's a website where you can already do this, but it'll divide up however much tax you paid. It'll say this much went to that, this much went to health. It's complete fiction, of
course. It's a fiction. On the other hand, people who are proponents of small government say this is a way of containing taxes. More of a user-pays approach.
Yes, and I can see that, although, again, people who are in favour of small government sometimes say, look, don't call it a Medicare levy. That's just making tax popular. I come down on the side of Joe Hockey. I come down on the side of, I'd be very happy if we divided, if we had a schools and a health tax that people are, these things that people are in favour of it. I guess the reason Treasury doesn't like it is there are some things that governments need to do that people aren't in favour of. Mm. Administration.
And this would be very restrictive for them. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, in a way it wouldn't, because the whole thing is a fiction.
Oh, gee. Where does that leave us, Peter Martin?
I guess it just leaves us knowing that we are being tricked, I'd say, and that when the government tells us in the budget, look, this is going to the medical research fund, that's not what's happening. What's happening is they are perhaps increasing their spending on medical research. We'll find that out later.
It might not be proportional to the co-payment.
No, that's right.
And other cuts.
And they are definitely cutting the spending on the PBS and the spending on doctors. So it's really a false way of looking at things. But, of course, you saw the number of levies. I couldn't even count them. There's probably about 10 that the Howard government introduced. They're very popular.
Well, thank you for talking about the hypothetical nature of hypothecation for everyday economics.
So what are the two words for today?
Fungible and hypothecation. Thanks, Peter. Yeah. Really appreciate it.
Bye.
Economics editor for The Age, with us for Everyday Economics. And this, Peter, always provokes quite a response from you. So get on our webpage, abc.net.au/RN. Look for Life Matters and comment away, or our listener feedback line 02 833 1430. Love your feedback on the segment.